Now, a story that's often full of contradictions and controversy, the story of public housing in this country. There's a documentary play on stage in Chicago that's tackling this. It's called The Projects. It focuses on what worked and what went wrong when Chicago tore down its troubled high-rises to build mixed-income communities. NPR's Cheryl Corley has more.
In a Southside Chicago neighborhood, about a 10-minute drive from downtown, a mix of smart brick condos, townhomes, and apartments line up in an area called Oakwood Shores. This used to be the home of three huge contiguous public housing developments. Annie Smith Steubenfield lived in two of them. The photographer now lives in one of the new row houses.
In this spot, exactly where we were standing, is the Clarence Darrow Homes.
Looks entirely different.
Totally different. Totally. And that's what I love about it. The new community. I love the look of the new community.
The Darrow Homes was just one of several public high-rise housing developments. One of the most infamous was Chicago's Cabrini Green. Another was portrayed in one of Smith Steubenfield's photos projected on one of the stage walls during the play.
What are these?
Back then? The high-rises?
Yeah.
Robert Taylor Homes. At the time, it was the biggest housing project in the country. I think 28,000 people live in there.
Playwrights P.J. Yes. Paparelli and Joshua Yeager interviewed some of them over a five-year span. They talked to former and current public housing residents like Smith Steubenfield, scholars, and gang members.
Just looking out of a window, watching the asphalt grow.
The American Theater Company's production of The Projects begins with the lyrics of the theme song for Good Times, the 1970s sitcom about an all-black family making the best of it in the Chicago housing projects. Good Times was fiction imitating life. Paparelli, artistic director of the theater company, wanted to capture the story behind the city's saga with public housing.
We made a mistake and built these high-rises and concentrated the poor And ever since, there's been such a fear. Like, that's the dirty word, public housing. But the need hasn't changed. In fact, the need has increased for subsidized housing. And so, to me, it seemed like it was worthy of debate. It was worthy to get it up on stage and talk about it.
Paparelli spoke to me during rehearsals of the play. On May 21st, he died following an automobile accident. One of the things he and Yeager wanted to show was that initially the massive structures built in Chicago were an oasis for the city's working poor. That came out in the interviews they adapted.
Oh, Lord, it was so beautiful, and it was ours.
I just remember thinking, this is my home. My home.
These early residents showed an intense affinity for their new communities. The word paradise gets thrown around a lot.
An ensemble of eight black actors play all of the characters in the play, even the white ones, including Chicago's first Mayor Daley, who initially supported low-rise public housing. The federal government funded high-rises for less cost per unit. Even so, the promise of the housing was still strong. But the promise faded quickly, said Paparelli.
The problems that then stemmed out of the decisions that being made, concentrating the poor into one part of town, putting them to these high-rises, not thinking about the number of kids inside these buildings, all of these things playing at the same time, of course, creates generations of problems.
To fill its high-rises, the Housing Authority began renting to welfare recipients, obliterating the income base needed to maintain the buildings. Many working families would leave, and the buildings would become notorious for gang violence.
It could be the littlest thing that would set it off. And the next thing you know, it's on red alert. And everybody running up the stairs, locking their kids inside. And you look out on the fire lane, and you see there's a war going on.
Still, the developments created their own infrastructure and their own economy.
You just opened up shop right at the apartment.
They had a store. I'm talking with shelves and stuff. I'm not lying. Anything you wanted. You name it, they sold it.
Everything from groceries to household needs. Chicago eventually gave up on high-rises, bringing a close to one huge experiment to create another with its $1.6 billion plan for transformation. It's all depicted in the play.
And now we're building townhouses with market-tested names like Oakwood Shores. I mean, look at this. There's like this cute little white couple and a dog. And look, they're eating pizza. And this is in a black neighborhood. where previously you couldn't even get police, much less a pizza delivery.
In the post-demolition era of public housing, the gleam of new neighborhoods has brought frustration, displacement, and even, say some, a spread of new violence because of the movement of gang members to different areas of the city. But for others, it's brought hope. As the play comes to an end, its message that public housing, despite its troubles, is still home to those who live or live there rings true to audience members like Russell Norman.
This is not a play to me. I live this.
I mean, these are my neighbors, my family members, my friends, my classmates, my coworkers, my community.
And that was the goal of the playwright, to tell a true story about the bonding, dismantling, and transformation of community and public housing. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.